I loved going to see my cousin Nick. He was 3 years older than me, and I kind of worshipped everything he did. Not in the way that we're not supposed to, but, you know, I kind of followed him around like a puppy. And he tolerated me, although I must have been an irritant to him at times. But when he showed me how he was building muscles through the Ben Weider weightlifting system with his barbell, I thought, I want to be strong and big like that. As you can see, it didn't happen. But when we watched sports together, I learned to cheer for the same teams, and he taught me about different sports, and I didn't know a lot about basketball at that time, so afterwards we'd go out and we'd practice dribbling the ball and see how many times we could dribble the ball without it falling. He also told me jokes that I shouldn't know, but I didn't tell my parents about those. John was Jesus' slightly older cousin, but he was the opposite of me and Nick. John really did worship his younger cousin. When their mothers were both pregnant, Jesus' mother Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was so excited because when she heard Mary's voice, she said the child in her womb, I don't know where I'm doing that, I don't have a womb, but when she heard Mary's voice, she says the child in her womb, John the Baptist, leaped for joy. Even before he was born, he knew Jesus was special, a gift from the Holy Spirit. Later, when John was baptizing people, his cousin came to him for baptism, and he said, "You should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you." All his life, John knew that his cousin had come to show the world that God was present with his people. You and I today are being asked to see Jesus in the same way as his cousin, John. That's why we call it Gaudete Sunday. That means Joyful Sunday or Rejoice Sunday, a day to rejoice that Jesus has come into the world and is ready to come again into our lives this Christmas to bring us joy. So the candle for Gaudete Sunday is pink. I'm sorry, I was supposed to call it rose. And so we are wearing not pink vestments, but rose vestments. I don't know if I look any good in rose, but Father really does. I think he looks pretty amazing. A former pastor here said, it's not pink or rose, it's salmon. Actually, he said it's angry fighting salmon, is the way he put it. So rose is the liturgical color used to signify joy. Therefore, we light the rose candle on this third Sunday of Advent, and priests wear rose vestments. And so we take time out of this, what is partly a season of waiting and kind of anticipation, but it's also in the liturgical calendar for Christians, especially in the Catholic Church, a time of penance, a time of preparing ourselves to be able to receive. That's what John's baptism was. It was a baptism of repentance. Repent, turn back to God, turn away from your sins, turn to God. And so, but we take a little bit of a break from that today. And in case I forget, it's okay today to go home and have a great celebration, to go out and maybe even enjoy a glass of wine. I don't know, but it depends, not for everyone. Just, you got to be old enough. Most of us adults, you know, I think, don't wake up feeling joyful. We worry about a lot of things. But today is the day to give ourselves permission to feel the joy of a child at Christmas. We are in a state where Jesus has not yet come yet. This is the second reading from James. We won't have time to go into it much. But James says, he says, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. All four Gospels tell us that to understand Jesus, that we have to go through John. As the story opens, he's in prison for telling Herod that not to sin in a particular way. We won't go into that today. But apparently kings don't like to be told what they're doing wrong, that they're sinning. So John knows that he's been put in prison for a pretty serious reason, for insulting the king, and that it's quite possible that he won't get out. John has preached and identified Jesus as the chosen one, but now he's experiencing doubt for some reason. So why was John suddenly uncertain about whether Jesus is the one who is to come? John was all fire and brimstone, and Jesus didn't have that same style. John wrapped his body in rough clothes and animal hide and went out in the wilderness to tell the people who went to hear him, quit your sinful ways, repent and turn back to God. And Jesus, He did some of that, but he did a lot of just hanging around with people, eating meals together, laughing and crying with them, healing them and telling them that the kingdom of God is close at hand. Very different styles. So Jesus was doing it very differently than John. Jesus doesn't say, yes, I'm the one. He asked John to look at what's happening around. So John, just to set that up, John is feeling some doubt, experiencing some doubt. So he sends his friends to ask Jesus, are you the one, or are we to wait for another? So he's a bit probably confused about Jesus. You know, they have such different methods, as I said, and he doesn't seem to be very messianic in some way. So he sends his friends to ask Jesus the question, are you the one? Now, Jesus could have given John a simple answer, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. But instead, Jesus answers his question with another question. What do you think, John? The blind can see again. The crippled walk. The sick people are made well. The deaf hear. Lepers are cured. And the dead are raised to life. And even the poor have a reason to rejoice because the good news of the God's presence is being preached to them. Jesus replies to John's disciples that he should look for the signs. Look at the signs. So Jesus was reminding John in a way of what he already knew, that the sign of the kingdom, the sign of the Messiah, is exactly what Isaiah had predicted. And that comes from our first reading. What does Isaiah say? The eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer. And the ransomed of the Lord shall obtain everlasting joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Even the desert, even nature will sing with joy as the desert blossoms and rejoices. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, Isaiah continues, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come to save you. So John needed to hear that everything was going according to God's plan. I think that we need to be reminded of that as well, don't we? That everything is going according to God's plan to bless all people with his saving presence. You know, there is no other religious leader ever whose coming was foretold. This is the sign of authenticity. Jesus did not give a list of things to believe. We will only be judged not by what we believe in part, but by what deeds were done in the body. They will know you are Christians by your love, the song says. That's what indicates authenticity. And so Jesus shows the coming of the kingdom by his deeds of healing, his deeds of power, which mattered because the people needed to see that. They needed to see the power of God. And so we have all of that evidence. We have the evidence of those who were there, who were eyewitnesses. So what has happened is exactly what God said would happen. God is repairing a broken world. Jesus is the means by which the kingdom of God breaks into the world. Blindness is the classical image of sin and alienation from God. Forgiveness is a light into our lives. Sin is a crippling ailment, and we are paralyzed in our progress. He allows us to walk. Disease in the Bible is often a symbol of sin. And with our sins, forgiveness is being healed, like being healed of leprosy and shame. And it goes on and on. All throughout the Old Testament, we see these prophecies pointing to Jesus, who fulfills in himself. He gives the people the reason to joy that all of the prophets, and especially Isaiah during this season, tell us that are to be the signs of joy. There is a directive when those who are ordained to the permanent diaconate, me as a permanent deacon, it says, believe what you read, teach what you believe, and practice what you teach. It means to go to God's word where you will find his promises. It means tell others about his sacrificial love that he has for them. It means live it out. Let your deeds speak about the presence of the Savior. I was at the bedside of Deacon Albert Henry, a beautiful man, just days before he died. He wasn't expecting to get sick. He was still relatively young. What he said to me, I will always remember. He said, I don't want to die, but I believe I have completed what God asked me to do. This is what I want to be able to say when I am at that point in my life, to be able to have the joy, to be able to say, I participated in God's plan. I welcomed it into my own heart. Now we have with us today, you were already introduced to those who are becoming our catechumens, those who are seeking baptism, entry into the sacramental life of the church, the life of grace. And you will soon be introduced to all those who are also baptized, who are seeking full communion with the church, the sacraments of confirmation, and to participate with us at the Eucharistic table. And we have a number of people who travel, who journey with them. And so we hear their stories about the many different places that they've come from and the many different ways that they come to this desire to be one with us in faith and love and in joy. And our team members don't come because we twist their arms and say, please come out, please come because, you know, we need you and it will look bad if you're not here. They don't come for that reason. They want to share in the experience that Jesus Christ makes in their lives. And they want to hear yours, you catechumens and you candidates. They are joyful to hear your stories as you journey with us in faith. Yes, it's personal, like each of those that Jesus mentions. But it's also communal. We share this together. And so we are joyful as a church today that you are with us in this at this beautiful time. So the next part of course, this joy is that we need to be able to share that with others. Part of what we are trying to present is how we share with one another the joy. I'll tell you a quick story. There is a story about four businessmen who were at a conference in another country. And things had gone pretty well, and they were on their way to the airport afterwards, kind of chatting and high-fiving each other. And they didn't notice that they had kind of knocked over an apple cart in the market there. So there was a market that they were walking through, and they knocked over. One of them noticed it, and he went back. And as he went back to help out and fix the apple cart, he realized that the woman managing it was blind. And so he started to pick up the apples in the stand. And she said to him, are you Jesus? And he said, no, we knocked over the cart and we're just fixing what we had done. But I thought, you know, what a great story, because it's the question that John had. Are you Jesus, the Messiah, the one who is to come into the world, the Christ, the anointed one, to remind us of God's presence? And so that little story can maybe remind us of the many ways that we are called, invited to be Jesus for others, to bring joy into the world. Do not be afraid. Your God is here. I have to tell you, and this is maybe a little experiment you can try for yourself, to be truly joyful is impossible when we are overcome or when we are dominated by fear, by anxiety. Now, sometimes fear and anxiety are reasonable in the world. We need to be afraid of things that are fearful. But if we are overcome by that fear, we will not be able to be joyful. Like John, we too have to ask Jesus the question, are you the one, or shall we look for another? Are you the one, the reason that I can let go of the anxiety that I carry around with me, that maybe I can't get rid of entirely, but I can make room and not let it dominate me, and I can make room for the joy that God wants for me. So the message of the pink candle is that the Lord is near. God is coming to us at Christmas. He is in motion towards us, and the question will be, are we moving towards him? Will we walk by his light? Today we can start to see the fullness of the coming of the light. We can be the presence of that light in the world to others. Who is it in our lives that maybe needs a reason to hope, to rejoice? Can we be that pink Advent candle? Well, first we have to invite that joy into our own hearts and then go out and finish our Christmas shopping and perhaps hug someone. Let them know the Lord has come, the Lord is near, do not be afraid.